On year this morning, welcome to Still. We're in a new year. If you didn't notice, we're almost in February. It's unbelievable. If you're visiting with us today, it's great to have you in our fellowship this morning, and we do hope and pray that you'll enjoy our time, your time with us this morning. We are busy with a series on spiritual growth. And that is, what does it take to grow spiritually, and what helps us to grow spiritually? And we'll get into that shortly. I know it's been mentioned several times, but I just want to say something on it as well. It's next weekend. We're obviously having our 21st anniversary weekend, which I know from Lisa and myself, from our side, we're very much looking forward to it. I think it is something that we have prayed about a lot, and I know many have. And it's amazing as you, I want to encourage you to do the same for the members, that as you reflect over the time that has gone by, over the last 20 years, there's just so many fond memories of things that have taken place and how God has worked. And that is why it's called God of Wonders. And that's going to be next Friday, starting next Friday. It's the Friday starts at 7. Again, we want to ask people, please be here at 6:30. Please be here at 6:30, because when we start at 7, we want to start 7 o'clock sharp and grow into some great worship. The Saturday morning we'll be together. And then the Sunday is going to be a tremendous time. To be able to worship together, have a service together, and then afterwards to be able to have lunch together. And I don't think we've really done that before, where all of us, plus all of our family and friends, come out and have lunch together. So we're looking forward to that. Please be praying for that. Please be submitting things on that website if you're bringing extra friends, because we don't want to be in a situation where we have 1,000 people and 600 meals, and we also don't want to be in a situation where we have 600 people and 1,000 meals. And then I think the ministry staff will just live off of Spur Burgers till Jesus comes back. Okay, and that cannot be very healthy for us. So for our health, please fill out those things. That would be wonderful. But why don't we say a prayer, and then we'll jump into today's message. And Father, as I said, we're busy with a series called Spiritual Growth. And what we're looking at is, how do I grow spiritually? We're in the beginning of a new year, and I don't know about you, but for me, I sort of feel like the beginning of the new year gives me a reboot of the system. Now, if you are one of those unlucky people who still work on a PC with Windows, you know how to do that. It's reboot, reboot, reboot. Mac users don't experience that, but enough for the PC people. But sometimes we need that ourselves. It's just sort of a reboot where there's new hope and a new future, a new possibility. And every beginning of a year certainly somehow gives us that reboot. But now the question is, as I'm here, what is the way forward for me? Now the Bible says, you can turn to Acts chapter 4, we're going to read from that soon. But the Bible says in 2 Peter, I'm just going to quote from it, in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that his divine power, referring to God, has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And through His glory and goodness, we are able to participate in His divine nature and escape the corruption caused by evil desire. He is saying that His divine power, God, and His glory and goodness has given you and me everything that we need in order to have a relationship with Him. We are built, if you may, to be in relationship with God. We are built to not stagnate, but to grow spiritually, because through His divine power, through His glory and goodness, through His great and precious promises, we are able to change. We're able to be different. One of my favorite passages is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, where it says that God has set eternity into the hearts of man. God has set eternity into the hearts of man. So in other words, God has set something inside of you from birth. Eternity is inside of you. There is something inside of you that realizes and knows that there's something greater. There's something inside of you that knows that there's something beyond you. I can see it in my own kids. They're nine, 5, and 1 and a bit. But you can see it in them. You can see there's something that wonders. I remember as a kid, I have memories even of when I was 10 years old, where somehow you know there is something greater. As we look at creation, tonight, just look up to the sky.
prayerfully, it will be cloudless, and you can see the stars. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no language or speech where their voice is not heard." Just whether you are Afrikaans, English, Sotho, Khoza, French, you hear the voice of heaven. Because God has set eternity in your heart. So this is sort of where we start out in our spiritual journey. I'm a natural artist. This is you. Just put some hair on it and what have you. But this is you. And what happens is that God sets eternity there inside of your heart. And literally, it is almost like a hole in your heart. And you have that eternity set inside of you from birth. Now, in the book of Philippians, Paul says to the church in Philippi, he says, "I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ." In other words, that he who began a good work, Jesus, God, that has began a good work in you back then, will continue to work in your heart. He doesn't guarantee you a relationship. He doesn't guarantee you salvation. That is your choice. But from the day that you are born till the day that you die with less teeth, till the day that you die, God will continue to work in your heart. He will not give up. No matter how stubborn you are, no matter how much sin you're involved, no matter what you've done, he will not give up, because his desire is that that eternity would grow in your heart. That eternity would escalate and eventually shine through you so that we can be a part of his kingdom purpose and influence the world that we're in. Practically every day I pray this prayer for my children. I pray, I say, "God, please enlarge the eternity that you've set in their hearts. Please enlarge it so they can know you and be known by you." Now, the question that I'm going to try and answer this morning is, how do we move from that side with the whole of the heart to that side where eternity is enlarged? There is more or less, you could say, a spiritual continuum, and we're going to go through a process here of stages. Now, none of these stages are definitive. Even the words that I use are simply descriptive. It doesn't have to be that way. You can call it something else. There's also no clear boundaries. In other words, you're on this side of the continuum, and then you're on this side of it. But there is more or less a process that we can see through time of how we grow spiritually. And that's what I want to talk through today is for us to try and figure out, one is, where am I on the continuum? And what is the next step for me to move along the continuum? And, there's a lot of stuff today, what role does God play in it? What role do I play in it? And what role do we as Jesus Church play and this path of spiritual growth? So the first person you may say, we'll call an explorer. Okay, this should not be too new to you. You've been a member of the congregation for a while. Take a look in Acts chapter 24. We're going to take a look at an explorer in the Bible. Acts chapter 24, this is not on the screen. This is sort of today. You just need to really listen well. In Acts chapter 24, there is a governor of Caesarea. His name is Felix. I'll just give you a bit of a picture. Paul is in prison because of preaching the gospel. And Paul then has some interaction with this governor, Felix. And in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, we see some of this interaction. It says here in verse 25, as Paul was speaking to Felix, it says, "As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, 'That's enough for now, you may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you.'" Says he was talking to Paul. When Paul started talking about some more radical stuff, when he started talking about righteousness, about self-control, about judgment to come, Felix said, whoa, that's enough for now. You may leave." Kind of kind as well. "You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you." Who is this spiritual explorer? The spiritual explorer is someone who has some form of interest in the faith. Some form of interest in God. He was willing to sit with Paul. He was willing to listen. That's the kind of person that maybe you're that this morning, where somehow you landed in church today. Someone invited you, a friend, a neighbor, what have you, but you're sitting, and there is some form of wondering, some form of questioning, some form of, is this it? Or is there more? But there is also comfortability. And so you are interested until the heat gets turned up. And it's until change is required, then you sort of have the attitude, well, whoa, let's leave for now. Let's not get too serious right now. But when it is convenient, when the time is right, when I reach a certain age, then I will send for you. Then you can come and you can help me. The explorer is definitely intrigued, yet suspicious and cautious. They have a discomfort with the status quo, but the discomfort is overshadowed by comfortability. And therefore, they will only change when it is convenient. You could say, spiritually speaking, where's my bigger cokey? This way. You could say, spiritually speaking, if you could talk about a heartbeat for God, this is someone that's not even exploring. Now, the explorer, that's where we're focusing. So, the explorer has some heartbeat for God. It's not dead. It's not flatlined. There is something. But discomfort overshadows it and kills it. And so, somehow it needs to be enlarged. So, the first person is an explorer. The second sort of stage is what we could call a seeker. Someone is seeking God. Take a look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible talks about two men, Paul and Silas. They were both missionaries going from town to town, city to city, preaching and teaching people about Jesus. And it says here in Acts chapter 17, verse 10, that as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea, so from one town to the other. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. They would go there and preach on the Sabbath. Verse 11, now the Bereans, the town with which they went to, were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, the towns from which they came. For they received the message with great eagerness, and examine the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The town that they went to, the Bereans, says, were of more noble character than the town that they came from, the Thessalonians, for, and these are some key words, they received the message with great eagerness. That's the seeker. They're seeking. They received the message with great eagerness, and then listen to the next word, and examined the scriptures. Not read. Not touched upon, not they owned a Bible, examined the scriptures, listen to this, every day to see if what Paul said was true. What does that tell you? They were seeking, searching. They wanted to know about God, and when Paul came, he was able to help them because in their hearts, eternity was already set. It was growing, and as he spoke, it fanned it into flame, but they wanted more. The seeker is the kind of person that seeks God. They try and find him at church. They try and find him in the Bible. They try and find him through friends. They want to know, teach me more. I want to know more. They feel very uncomfortable with the status quo. They actually get restless at night. Sometimes they struggle to sleep at night because they wonder, am I right with God? If it was all to be said and done, if I die today, am I right? I don't know. And I'm concerned, I'm worried, and I have to find out. And so they start searching in some way or another because they're wondering about life, wondering how it all fits together, wondering what God and their relationship should be like. The person who is seeking is a little bit different than the explorer. They are inspired by truth. Notice when they're confronted with the truth, they're like, whoa. This is crazy stuff, but I want to do it. This is not going to be easy. This is going to be hard, but I want to do it. And as a matter of fact, the more they get involved in the truth, the more eager they are to change, even though it's hard. Because as they are drawing close to God, God is drawing close to them. They want to make changes. People around the seeker or the searcher can spot the changes. People at work or family see that the seeker, they're a little bit different. There's something, almost something shining in their eyes. They've got a different sort of beat in their step. There's something just different. They're starting to change from the inside out. They come to a point where God, for the seeker, realizes, well, let's first take a look at the seeker's heartbeat. You could say that the seeker's heartbeat looks something like this. Their heartbeat for God. And what the seeker realizes is that if this is a pie of your life, with it forming different portions, the seeker realizes that God is not just a part of the pie. They realize that God is the center of the pie and goes through every area of their life. And they realize it's going to be hard, but yet they feel inspired because they want to be close to God. Here's the question. If you are an explorer today, how do you move from being an explorer to a seeker? If you're sitting here today and you realize, this is me, that dude on the first board, I'm that guy. My face, spiritually speaking, looks like that. And my heartbeat is a little bit flat. How do I move from here to the next step? How do I become a seeker? Well, first of all, what does God do to help? We've seen that God has set eternity in your heart. And God continues to work in your heart. He wants to do something. He's given you His Word. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us His Son. And He's given us His kingdom people to help. So God is on your side. We learned that in the beginning. His divine power has given us everything that we need. God wants to help you. What do you need to do? If you're over here today and you say, man, boy, I feel intrigued but yet not sold. What do you need to do to move from year to year? The very first thing is you need to pray for help. You need to pray and you need to say, Father, enlarge the eternity that you've set inside of me. Do something inside of my heart. I love the passage in Ezekiel 36 where the prophet says from God, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God says, I will do it. But who does He do it for? One, He sets eternity in your heart. But then He does it for people that ask for it. He does it for people that come before Him and say, listen here, I realize that you're much greater and there's something much greater than me, but I'm battling. I'm sucked into this world. I'm entrenched in my habits. Please enlarge the eternity that you have set in my heart. And let me tell you, through the years, I've been a disciple now for almost 20 years. Through the years, I've seen God answer that prayer. I've seen people that were almost dead with regards to things of God, with a little heartbeat that just has that. And they pray and they beg God. And I've seen God make it alive as He works in their heart. So if you're the explorer today, what's the next step for you? Pray, God, please enlarge the eternity that you've set in my heart. What else can you do? Read the Bible as if it mattered. Read the Bible as if it mattered. In my teenage life, I owned a Bible, and I even read it every day, but I didn't read it as if it mattered. I read it because it was good. I read it because I was taught to read it, but I didn't read it as if it is the very words of God. I didn't read it as, listen here, the creator of the universe put His thoughts in a book called the Bible, And I get to open that thing every day and I read, and the Father, our Father in heaven, is speaking to me, and what he says matters. It matters. And when you're on this side and you want to move here, you've got to start reading the Bible that way. If you read it through new eyes, it's amazing what you'll see. But you have to read it as if it matters. Another thing that will help you is surround yourself with disciples of Jesus. Surround yourself with the people that are further ahead in the journey of yourself than yourself, so that who they are can start rubbing off on you. And certainly a final thing at Deacon, and I'm sure there's more to move from here to here, is get uncomfortable. Make a decision to do uncomfortable things. Make a decision to start working on those things that you know are keeping you away from God. But get uncomfortable and God will work in your heart. Our next step. For those guys who can't see there. The young Christian. The Pamelas of this world that became Christians recently. The young Christian. Who do we have in the Bible that looks that way? Early on in the Gospels, you see someone like Peter. The Apostle Peter, before he was an apostle. What defines a young Christian? What should this picture of health look like? Zeal. They're zealous. Enthusiasm. You see Peter in the boat. Jesus walks across the water. You guys know the story? He says, "Who is it? Is it a ghost?" He says, "No, it is I." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you. Let me walk on water." He's just zealous. And he really didn't think through that one. But zealous. Just a sense of excitement. You see Peter in the Bible at the transfiguration, where Jesus gets transfigured and there's a vision of Moses and Elijah with him. What is Peter's response to that? "Should I put up tents for you guys? We can all hang together and just fellowship and connect." Just a sense of zeal. A healthy young Christian is zealous, enthusiastic, excited. A healthy young Christian is filled with a sense of gratitude. They cannot believe their luck. They cannot believe that they were so lucky that God actually reached out to them and somehow moved their heart. There's a sense of, man, I'm the luckiest guy, the luckiest girl in the world. They want to tell others about it because they feel so lucky. Because they feel like they've won a prize, they want to say to others, they cannot help but listen, "I got to tell you, man, this is what happened. This is what God's doing in my life. Please join me in this journey." The young Christian relentlessly practices spiritual disciplines. Basic things like daily times in the Bible early in the morning, prayer times. Confession. The young Christian wants to be open about their life, not only to God, but to friends that can help them. They don't want darkness to grow inside of their heart. And so they're almost open about things that you don't have to be open about because you actually didn't do anything. But there's just a sense of, I just want to be open about what's happening inside of my heart because I'm afraid of the darkness consuming me. I'm afraid that the eternity would shrink again to that size of a pea. And I don't want it that size. I don't want a little nut in my heart. I want eternity to grow. I want eternity to evolve. And so they're open. The young Christian is a learner. They want to know. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. I remember when I was a young Christian 20 years ago, and I thought, man, I've learned so much in the journey from year to year in only a couple of weeks. I felt like those that were ahead of me spiritually, that have been Christians for a year or two, I felt like they must be like gods. Because if they've been reading their Bible, as I've been reading it just over the last couple of weeks, and they've gone at that pace for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, you must almost be at their feet and just say, "Teach me. Tell me what you know." That's a healthy young Christian. Now, if you are a seeker and you want to become a Christian, how do you move from one to the other? We sort of cover what God does. What does God do? He has set eternity in your heart and He continues to work in your heart. He's constantly prompting you through His Spirit, His Word, His people, and His Son. But what can you do? You need to keep on searching. If you're the seeker, never give up. Keep on searching. Read as much Bible as you can. Search it. Find the truth in the scriptures. Read as much as you can. Pray as much as you can. Live as much as you can. I mean, what you read, implement, become, live as much as you can. Ask as many questions as you can. How do I do this? How do I become this? How do I pray? How do I even do a proper Bible study? I don't know. How do I change? How do I grow? What should my marriage look like? How do I parent? I just don't know. I want to know. Teach me. Continue to learn. Focus on the relationship with God and not just the truth. As you read the scriptures, and it's filled with truth, but focus on the relationship. Know what it's all about, that you're actually pursuing a relationship. And in that relationship, there's truth. But it's not the end. The end is the relationship. Work on the relationship. Make disciples, as with the other, your best friends. What can we do? How can we help someone transition from being a seeker to a Christian? Love them. Love them, love them, love them. Serve them. Look out for them. Give yourself to them. Guide them. Befriend them. Be interested in them. Labor in prayer for them. Model for them what this should look like. That when they look at you, they see this. They don't see perfection, because none of us are perfect. But they can see someone pursuing it. Model it and teach them. Our next phase, stage, whatever you want to call it, up down the ladder. The growing Christian. What is a growing Christian? A growing Christian is someone who is growing in their relationship with God. Now, it's on this side, as a young Christian, there is an infatuation with God. As I said, a sense of excitement. the honeymoon phase of marriage, or even the engagement phase. It's just an infatuation. It's just, man, oh, just so excited. It's just so sweet. It's, oh, look at him. Look at his eyes. Look at his little toes and what have you. It is just that you're just infatuated with the person. But then a growing Christian, it moves from infatuation to bonded friendship. See the difference? One is just a sense of excitement. Who's newlywed? Who's been married here for less than a year? There, Jerry. There we go. And Mario. Okay, so infatuation. Looking into each other's eyes, holding hands. If they had an argument before, they're going to resolve it quickly. Infatuation. Now look at them, and then look at Rex and Marion. You guys have been married for 39, 40 years. Okay? Look at the difference. Versus one. You guys get what I'm saying? Best friends. We've traveled the journey together. That is the shift that needs to take place from there to here. You have to make the shift. You can't be forever. Are Rex and Marion, are they romantic? Look at them. I mean, there's a little glitter in the eye. It's not that you lose romance. It's just deeper. It's just bonded. It is the psalmist saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Versus, "Oh God, please help me." "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He has searched me and he knows me. Before a word is on my mouth, he knows it completely. He's hidden me in behind and before." The growing Christian. The relationship is growing. So one thing that you can see, transition, is the relationship. It is not just sort of arbitrary Bible study prayer that just stays in that time. There is a growth, but it can be slippery. So you got to stick to it. Another thing that you see in the growing Christian is they are reflective. They are reflective. In other words, they ask themselves on a regular basis good questions. They become quiet and they ask themselves this kind of question: where is my heart at with regards to the things of God? Is it hot? Is it at boiling point? Where is my heart at with regards to the things of God? What is it in my character that is not conformed to the image of Christ? What is that? What is it in my marriage or in my parenting that does not reflect Jesus? And they think about it, and they pray about it, and they wrestle with that question. They're reflective. They don't just ask it once a year. Next week, they ask themselves again. This thing keeps on being slippery. They ask themselves again, have I moved forward? Last week, I wrote this down with my heart, and with regards to my heart with the things of God. Has it grown? Has it changed? Am I maturing? So they're reflective. But here's the biggest thing, and here's the biggest gap between these two. The growing Christian takes personal responsibility for their spiritual growth. The growing Christian takes personal responsibility for their spiritual growth. On this side here, God has set eternity into your heart. He gets you to search. He gets you to wonder. And this side of a year, God starts putting people in your life. And if you really reflect back, you'll see that these people that were helping you actually did almost a lot more work than you did. They pursued you. They sat down with you. They initiated with you. They were the ones saying, let us pray together. They were the ones saying, let us teach you the Bible. They were the ones helping you. They were the ones keeping a seat for you in church. To get on this side, you need to get your own seat. On this side, you still need God's kingdom people, but you're the one doing the initiating. You're the one saying, I want to grow spiritually and I need to take personal responsibility for it. And here's the challenge. This is most probably what I've seen myself, the biggest gap and the biggest challenge. Where you get people that have been Christians for 10, 15 years, but they're still here. They don't shift year taking responsibility. They blame everyone else. I'm not growing because the church ain't teaching. I'm not growing because people ain't loving. I ain't growing because the church doesn't feed me. I ain't growing because of this. I ain't growing because of that. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. In the physical world, in the United States, they have a word for someone like that. It's called a kidult. A kidult is a kid adult. Meaning it's an adult that is maybe in their 20s, but they never matured beyond the kid years. So now they're a kidult. They're 30, but they're still living with mom and dad. They're 30, but they're still dependent on mom and dad. Physically, emotionally, physically and emotionally, spiritually, everything is called a kidult. I think the challenge sometimes for us is that we become spiritual kidults for the older Christians. Where you're not taking responsibility, saying, as Paul said to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. What that means is not that I do it by myself. It means that I go to someone and I say, listen, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. Pray with me, teach me, help me, mentor me, coach me, but I can't do it. I need your help. I am taking responsibility. I am coming to you. I am picking up the phone. I am calling you. You don't have to call me, I'll call you. Because it's my spirituality. It's my relationship with God. This is a huge stretch, friends. It's a baton pass. It is, I literally, my mentor needs to let go of the baton and I need to run with the baton. I cannot drag the mentor behind or worse yet, hang on to the mentor. The growing Christian is, and this is a big word, the implication, not the word itself, intentional. The growing Christian understands the principle of the path. Who of us remembers that? The principle of the path says this. your direction and not your intention determines your destination. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. I want to have a great marriage. I want to have a great marriage. I'm always working overtime. I want to have a great marriage. I'm always working overtime. I never see my wife. Where am I going to land? Direction or intention? I'm going to land my direction. I'm going to have a bad marriage because I never see my wife. My direction, not my intention, determines my destination. The growing Christian knows that if I want to tackle a core character challenge in my heart, my direction will determine my destination, meaning I have to be intentional. The growing Christian is intentional about growing. They're intentional about their marriage. They're intentional about their parenting. They're intentional about getting help. And here, I know, here we often make a mistake. It's not perfection. It's heart. It's desire. It is, I want to grow, and so I'm intentional. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes, and because I can't do it, I need people and I draw people into my life, but I am intentional about it. That's the growing Christian. So how do I get from one side to the other? Again, God has set eternity into our hearts. He's given us His Word, His Spirit, His Son, and His Kingdom people to help us. What about me? What do I need to do? Well, I need to get intentional. I need to commit to what I call the three T's, time, treasure, and talent. I need to commit the three T's to God. I need to commit my time to my relationship with God and His kingdom work. I need to commit, and this is one of the most difficult, my treasure, my resources. This is when you go next level. In other words, I'm not just here. I'm not in the stands. I'm in the game. God's people is my people. And I want to commit my time, my talent, and my money. I want to put it all there to expand and extend His kingdom and do His kingdom work. That's what we can do. How can we help people move from young Christian to growing Christians as a church? We need to pray for them. We need to allow them to make their own mistakes and be there for them as they fall and be there to pick them up and not tell them, I told you so. But just support and encourage and help. The last one, and we'll close with this one. It's what we call the mature Christian, the foreigner. What is a foreigner? A foreigner is someone who is in this world but not of this world. A foreigner is someone who has taken full responsibility for their spiritual growth and their walk with God over a period of decades. This is the place where we all need to want to be. This is the place that you reach in heart where you no longer conform to the patterns of this world, nor do you even have the desire to do so. You have no desire to do what the world does. You have no desire to have what the world has because you're not of this world. You don't want to be recognized the way that the world is recognized. You don't try to keep up with the Joneses or your neighbors or people at work or even other disciples. The only voice that you want to hear say, well done, is the voice of your Heavenly Father on the final day. That is what matters to you. You've become Christ-centered. Everything revolves around Jesus. Sin and temptation becomes less and less attractive to you because you are looking forward to a better country, a heavenly one. And you know that when you die, you don't leave home, you go home. But how do we get there? How do we become this almost seem to be impossible foreigner? How do we get there? One is you need to understand that it's not a state of perfection, but a condition of heart. And it's the kind of heart that cannot be microwaved. It is the kind of heart that is tested and developed over time. We have to work at it. The Bible is filled with foreigners, people like Moses, like Abraham, like Esther, people that were in this world but not of this world. People like the psalmist who in Psalm 73 said, whom have I in heaven but you? earth has nothing I desire besides you. This kind of heart and faith comes from years and years of struggling, falling, getting back up and pushing forward. The mistake that we make, though, is that we look at these great men and great women of the Bible and we think that it just happened overnight. We see God saying to Abraham, hey, listen here, I want you to sacrifice your son. And immediately he takes his son, he lifts the knife, and he says, let's do it. But we forget that it took him 50 years to develop that kind of faith. 50 years. We forget that when God originally said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and go to a place that I will show you, we forget that he dragged Lot along. That didn't help. Lot's descendants became the Moabites and Ammonites, Israel's greatest enemies. Because Abraham, his ears didn't work so well. It took him 50 years to change, friends. We forget that when he traveled and came to Egypt, he had a very beautiful wife. What did he say of his wife? Oh, this is my sister. He was afraid that the king would kill him for his wife, and so he lied. It took him time. It took hardship. It took intentionality, and it took God's grace for him to move from one side to the other. We look at a man like Joseph, and there's the scene in Genesis chapter 45, where I think most of us know the story. Joseph's brothers sold him off into slavery, where he ended up in jail and had bad news after bad news after bad news. Eventually, he's second in charge of the whole of Egypt. He faces his brothers once again. He tells them that he is his brother, their brother. And he says to them this as they are freaking out. He says, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God has sent me ahead of you. These guys sold him. I think we get so used to the story, we forget what that means. How would you feel if your sibling sold you? Sold you. Sold you as a slave. It's like Horrid Henry. I don't know if you guys have read those children books. But I'm selling. And his response is, don't blame yourselves. Nothing. And we look at that, we say, man, I need to be like that. But we forget it took him 13 years to get there. 13 years for God to work in his heart. 13 years for him to remain faithful, trusting God fully to develop that kind of heart. What about Moses? The humblest man that ever walked on the face of the earth, although he wrote that himself. What about him? That's a sermon in itself. We forget that when God called him, he said, no, thank you. We forget that he was a coward, a murderer. We forget that this man went through hardship. It took 80 years. 80 years for him to fall on his face, struggle, get back up, and remain faithful. But the day that he died a foreigner. And this is the only man in the Bible that we know of that God himself buried him. Because he was in this world, but not of this world. Enoch. It's very little said of Enoch in the Bible. But what it said is this. Enoch walked with God for 300 years and then he was no more because God had taken him away. Man, if I can go that way. He walked with God for 300 years and then was no more because God had taken him away. He was a foreigner. That is our destination, friends. It is not Sunday services. We want to be foreigners. It is a tough journey, but get there we must. It's not about time. It's not about I don't have the time. It's not about talent. It is not about perfection. It is about heart. A heart that lives in full submission to God for decades. That's how we grow spiritually. In short, all of us are somewhere on this journey. What I want to ask of you this morning, implore of you, is go and think of where you're at. Maybe you're the explorer this morning and you need to take a step. And the simplest of steps might be, God, please enlarge the eternity in my heart. Please open my heart. I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to listen. Maybe you're seeking and you need to take a step. And that step is continue with what you're doing. Surround yourself with other disciples that can help you to grow. Maybe you're the young Christian and you're zealous, but you need to grow. Make sure that you start taking responsibility. Make sure that you move from infatuation to a bonded friendship. And if you're the growing Christian today, no matter what you're facing, no matter where you're at, do not give up. Hang in there. If you've blown it, you've messed up, you're not where you're supposed to be, get up. Dust yourself off. Get back into the saddle. Surround yourself with friends and follow the journey to become a foreigner. Someone who is in this world, but not of this world. So that God can say of you and me as well, they walked with God for 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90 or 100 years, and then they were no more because God had taken them away. My prayer for us is that this year is blank for us and will be a year of spiritual growth where we can all work towards becoming foreigners. God bless. Let's close with a word of prayer.